Our scripture tonight will be from Hebrews 2, verse 10, although we will look at a couple of other scriptures in the New Testament as well. But we'll read Hebrews 2, verses 10 through 18. Hear now the reading of our God. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one. For this reason, he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. And in the midst of the congregation, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God's given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. Amen. May God bless this reading and hearing of his gospel tonight. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd help us as we look at a scriptural truth that is always true, but we don't always dwell upon it quite as closely, and so some aspect of it might take some time for us to understand and explore. Thank you that we have this opportunity. Cause us to grow in the grace and knowledge of who you are as our Christ, and also what this means for us as your people in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, congregation, it was on this day, nearly 2,000 years ago, that our Lord Jesus ascended into the clouds, up, up and away, into the sky. Although we normally think about other parts of Jesus' very important work for us, his incarnation at Christmas, his perfect life in obeying the Ten Commandments all of his 30 plus years of life, his teachings, his miracles, and then of course his sacrificial death atoning for our sins at the cross on Good Friday, and his powerful and victorious resurrection on Easter, yet there's still more to the story. And we say it every week in the Apostles' Creed. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Every week we confess the truth of this Bible doctrine, the ascension of Jesus into heaven. The Bible has a lot to teach us about each of the portions of what we confess in something like the Apostles' Creed. And today we're just going to zero in on one biblical term about what it means for Jesus to be our ascended King and how he relates to us as his people. And that is the term captain. The term captain. And our theme is this: the ascension of Jesus teaches us that Christ is our captain. The ascension of Jesus teaches us that Christ is our captain. And there's three ways we see this term captain in the New Testament. First, he is the captain of our life. Then he's the captain of our salvation. And lastly, he's the captain of our faith. The captain of our life, our salvation, and our faith. Now, before we go into each of those, I just want to help us understand where the word captain is going to show up in some of our scriptures and in some of our Bible translations. When we think of the term captain today, we think of maybe a military leader who's got that rank of captain who organizes and orders the people under him. Or we think of the leader of a sports team, the captain of the team. But the word captain has even deeper significance in the Bible. Sometimes it is translated as prince or pioneer or author. And depending on your Bible translation, the verses we'll turn to will use one or several of these. Sometimes some of our translations will say captain. In the Old Testament, captain is one of the titles used for the Messiah. In the Old Testament, the word captain meant the person who's lifted up, which makes perfect sense because the Messiah is lifted up to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, reigning on the throne. The prophet Ezekiel uses the word captain for Jesus who would come 20 times. One such place, if you want to jot that down, look that up later, is Ezekiel 34, verse 24. The term for captain shows up again for Jesus 4 times in the New Testament. 2 times in Acts and 2 times in Hebrews. And we'll look at all of those as we learn that Jesus is the captain of our life, captain of our salvation, and captain of our faith. The way that you and I live today and tomorrow and every day is shaped by the kind of relationship we have with the God who loves us and who gave us life and salvation. And so it's good for us to know who that God is. So let's look at the fact that Jesus, our Christ, is the captain of our life. Acts 3, please turn there. Acts 3, verse 15. And we'll see one of the first times this phrase is used. Here, I think in most of our translations, the word that could be translated captain is also here translated prince. In Acts 3:15, it says Peter's preaching to the unbelieving Jews, and he says that they had killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And we should really back up to verse 13, Acts 3 and verse 13, for Peter says, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life." The captain, the Prince of Life, is the source of life. And notice the context there. Who is this prince compared to? That's why we backed up and read those other verses. The Prince of Life is compared to the murderer that the Jews said, "Let him go. Kill the innocent man, Pontius Pilate, Jesus of Nazareth. Put him on the cross and let the murderer, Barabbas, go." Jesus, whom they wanted to get rid of, was the Prince of Life. The one who they wanted to continue to have life is called a murderer. And what do murderers do? They're not the source of life. They cause the end of life. The exact opposite. The exact opposite. The unbelieving Jews, by wanting a murderer, who's someone who ends physical life, by wanting him around, were really saying that they also want the end of spiritual life. Because without Jesus, there is no life. That's what the Bible says. Who is the prince, the captain, the author, the source of life? It's Jesus. The one who they said, no, thank you very much. We want people who end life, not protect and preserve and give us life. We want the murderer. That will give us peace in our life. How foolish. But that's what they wanted. Without Jesus, there is no eternal life for anyone. The successful ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven and his continued life right now on the throne as our captain reminds us of how universal the facts of Christianity are. Do not let the world bully us around, and they try, and they do, but do not be shaken in your confidence. There is only one God, and He alone is the source of all life. The Apostle Paul preached to the wisest men of his day in the city of Athens in Acts 17 and told them that the unknown God that they had an idol to, that they were looking for, He's the true God that speaks in the Bible. And it's in Him that we all live and move and have our being. That's the same thing that Acts 3 is telling us, that the prince, author, captain of any kind of life is Jesus Christ. The very existence of life depends on Him. But Jesus is not only the captain of life, He's also the captain of life that continues on, of life eternal. Among all of the various world religions a person could choose from, Christianity is unique because it depends entirely on our God to come to us, to give us life. And if He doesn't do it, we're not getting it. There's no way we can have life unless God comes and completely, in His sovereign power and work, raises someone up from the dead. There's nothing more hopeless to face than death itself. Humans are not powerful enough to defeat that enemy. When you get that terrible diagnosis, when you get that phone call, hear of a tragic accident, when you turn and your loved one's fallen asleep in the middle of the night, what can we possibly do? We can do nothing. The world, full of all of its hopes, says they can help, but eventually they fail. Whether it's medicine, whether it's one last vacation while you're still around, or simply imagining and wishing that you're not really sick or that death hasn't really happened, none of that helps, ultimately. But as Christians, because our relationship is with the God who's not dead, but with the Christ who's the captain of life, we know His blessed resurrection is to us a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection. And when times come, and they come, where we have to grieve, we don't grieve as the world does, which is a grief without hope. But we grieve with hope, looking with confidence to the future, that the Lord will raise up this mortal body and flesh and breathe new life into it, just like He did the first time, except the second time, we won't ever get sick again. We won't ever have pain. We won't ever cry. We won't ever sin. All because Christ is the captain of our life. The second thing we see from Scriptures tonight is that Christ is also the captain of our salvation. And we see that especially in the verses we read in Hebrews 2. In Hebrews 2, verse 10, that's how the term is used. It says that it was fitting for Him, speaking of the Father, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the author, the word author, could also be translated captain of our salvation, perfect through sufferings. And here we're reminded that in the Bible, the title captain obviously doesn't mean captain of a sports team, but we just looked at captain of life means the source of life, but there's something a little bit more than that. In the Bible, the word captain or prince or author here means it's the source of an awesome blessing that the captain starts, and then those whom he's representing get to enter into that blessing. He starts it, the captain starts it, and then we get to enter into and experience that blessing of salvation. Let's see how that definition is at work in Acts 5. You might want to keep your fingers in Hebrews 2. We'll be back there. But in Acts 5, verse 31. Remember, I said the term shows up twice in Acts and twice in Hebrews. So we're looking at the other place in Acts now. Acts 5, verse 31. It says there that Him, God, speaking of Jesus, God has exalted to His right hand to be prince, or captain, and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now, do you see there how it mentions Ascension Day? It says he was exalted to the right hand of the Father. That's what happened on Ascension Day. Which person was it that the Father exalted to his right hand? Well, verse 30 says it's the person whom named Jesus, who was murdered by hanging on a tree. But how can a dead person be exalted up into heaven? Because he came back to life on Easter morning. Because, as we saw already, he's the captain of life. But that's not all. This ascended Jesus is now also described as the captain or prince of salvation. He gives us, according to verse 31, what we need. He's made salvation a reality by paying for our sins on the cross. But then he goes in his broken body and shed blood, right? It's finished, but he takes that very body with him to the right hand of the Father in heaven. And then what? He continues there so that he can give us repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's what the rest of verse 31 tells us. We get to experience the blessing of salvation. A captain starts the blessing and then he allows his people to continue to enter into that blessing. You see, that's how Jesus is different than perhaps sometimes a captain on a sports team who tells everybody how the play is going to go, but it's up to everybody else. And if everybody does their share, then they'll win. But in this case, Jesus is the captain. He creates the blessing, and then he makes sure that we, the rest of the team, get to experience the blessing. You see, Calvinism, or the Reformed faith, is soundly biblical, based upon the very nature of who Jesus is, as well as his work. He ascended on high as our captain, so that his covenant people, what does it say? So that they could have repentance and forgiveness of sins. If Jesus had never ascended, never been exalted to the right hand, that's ascension, if that never happened, he couldn't be our sovereign captain, and we would never be able to repent, and we would never have forgiveness of sins. That's what the Bible says. We're totally depraved, lost, dead in our trespasses and sins. Jesus has to earn salvation, go to heaven, and then give us the ability to even repent so we can experience the forgiveness of sins. That's what the Bible says. We didn't make it up in some dusty doctrinal book. That's what the Bible says in many places, including here in Acts 5, verse 31. Ascension Day reminds us of this, of who Jesus is, that he doesn't call us to stand up and pretend that we're on our little throne in this world. He's on the throne, and now we get to be on our own little thrones and rule and take charge of our little area as we see fit. Rather, Ascension Day keeps us humble to realize the very fact I'm included among God's people is because God, Jesus, is my captain who gave me repentance and forgiveness in the first place. But there's even more to this aspect of Jesus as captain of my salvation. Let's turn back to Hebrews 2. You see, in Acts 5, it speaks about how we get saved, right? How we enter the kingdom. But now in Hebrews 2, it talks a little more about how we continue to live and experience that life in the kingdom, and how salvation is a part of that as well. The process that the captain of our salvation followed is described in Hebrews 2, verse 10, as a process of suffering. Verse 10 goes so far as to say it's fitting that the captain of our life, when he brings his people, many sons, all of his children, into glory, does it through sufferings. Now, he does the sufferings, and then he's the captain, he goes ahead, and then we enter into that blessing. But when we suffer, our sufferings don't earn us salvation because we're not the captain. Jesus is the captain. We're not the captain of our fate. Our sufferings follow the pattern that Jesus followed, which is first suffering, then glory. First for Jesus came the cross and the grave, and then came the empty tomb on the day of resurrection, and then his ascension as king to the right hand of the Father. Jesus told us many times that we have to be prepared to take up our cross and follow him if we are his disciples. All Christians will suffer tribulation and suffer for Jesus' sake. It's a common theme among Jesus' teachings. But remember, he also gives a special set of blessings in his Beatitudes. He says, when evil men and women persecute you and say all evil things against you falsely for his name's sake, right? He blesses us. And so we will reach that great and glorious future day through sufferings. This is very different from what the world expects from its captains and leaders. The world expects victory, confidence, good days, financial success and stability. The world wants a certain kind of a king, a certain kind of a president, a certain kind of a job, which brings me pleasure, not pain. The world wants a family, a marriage, a retirement, which brings me pleasure and good times, and not something that would require me to suffer or endure or bear with others' infirmities. But you see, that longing and expectation of the world ignores the very process that Jesus himself followed on his way to glory. The captain of our salvation suffered. He did it willingly and faithfully. Why? Part of the beautiful answer of the Bible is in what we read in Hebrews 2. You see, in verse 10, it speaks about him as the captain of our salvation, made perfect through sufferings. Then it goes on a little while, and at the end of this chapter, it speaks about how he can relate to us because he suffered. Look at verse 17 and 18. You know those verses by heart almost, I trust. Therefore, in all these things, Jesus had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. And then a similar thing is also said in the end of Hebrews chapter 4. You see, one of the ways that you and I can apply, put into practice, this biblical truth that Christ is our captain. He's the captain of our salvation. First of all, that means I'm saved by his sovereign grace. He's the one who's opened my eyes to give me repentance. And so I praise him for that. There's a second way I apply that truth as well. He's captain of my salvation, which means he is my captain. Not just he was my captain on the cross when he took the pain and guilt and penalty for my sins, but the salvation I need is a present ongoing action because I'm daily going through sufferings on my way to future glory. I need Jesus' daily power to transform my life. And because he is ascended as my captain, I have that power. We know that not a single day goes by without us having to fight against temptation and sin in ourselves and in the world around us. As one Bible teacher put it very well, as we deliberately look to Christ as our captain, he personally knew the full force of temptation, but of course he didn't give in to it. We can receive strength and courage to overcome. There's a hymn that expresses it this well. In your hearts, enthrone him. There, let him subdue all that's not holy, all that is not true. Let Jesus subdue everything in you that's not holy, everything that's not true. Crown him as your captain in temptation's hour. Let his will enfold you in its light and power. What a beautiful poem and hymn. The captain of our salvation, as Hebrews says later in Hebrews 7, verse 25, is able to save unto the uttermost all who come to God through him, because he's always living to make intercession for us. And so one of the applications of this is quite simply, as God's children, I don't live beyond the reach of temptation. I don't expect that if I'm a Christian, I'm never going to have sin or struggle with sin. Rather, I have a captain who daily delivers me when I look to him from the temptation. Captain of my salvation. And the last way this captain term is used in the Bible regarding to Jesus is as captain of our faith. This is the third thing, the captain of our faith. This title is used in Hebrews 12, verse 2. That verse I know is familiar to us. We've looked at that in more detail several times through the years. And Hebrews 12 says we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, so we lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let's run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the captain, or the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Ascension again, sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our ability to have faith. He's the captain of our faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. The ability we can have faith is only through the work of Jesus, the Bible tells us. The way our faith began comes through Captain Jesus, and it's also the way our faith grows. For here it says he's not only the author, but he's the finisher of our faith. And so we are supposed to turn to him, to look unto him, to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Faith looks high upon Jesus. That's why we prayed earlier, even though we can't see Jesus with our spiritual sight, right? That's what happened. He disappeared from the disciples. And yet they went and they worshiped him. How could they do that if he wasn't there? Because they were still looking at him with the eyes of faith. And that's what we do. Faith lifts us high. When the world throws us a curveball, Satan puts up an obstacle. When the road that we think we were traveling on burns up, something, the bridge is out because of some trial, some challenge, some unexpected thing, we look up. If the Bible tells us, and it does, and we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if we can walk through that valley, then we can walk through any other kind of valley as well. Because we don't need to see what's at the end of the road. God can. So we look up to him, we can see the end of the road. He's the captain of our faith. And when we do that, not only are we doing what God has called us to do, looking to Jesus, but we're also following the example of Jesus. He demonstrated a perfect and pure faith and trust in the will of God. When he was on the cross, he trusted in his Father. His very last words were this: Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And that's what we do every day. We look up to this King. We commend our body, our soul, our life, our plans, our hopes, our dreams, our expectations. We commend them. We turn them over into God's hands because he cares for us. And so we apply this to our hearts, remembering this is what we must do. Look unto God in faith, because we're going to be tested. That faith is going to be challenged. We need a captain of our faith to not only give us faith, but to keep us going, to look to while we keep marching ahead, following his will. We know that our faith in Captain Jesus, as 1 Peter 1, verse 7 tells us, our faith is much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire. When our eyes are upon our captain, that's when we recognize the privilege it is to trust God, that it's the good fight that we're fighting. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight worth fighting. And so how would we summarize all these things we've looked at tonight about Christ as our captain? The benefits of realizing this is the kind of Jesus I have. He's not only my Savior, which is certainly true. He's not only my Lord, which is certainly true, but He's also my captain. Well, learning this reminds us of the proper focus we are to have, that conflict will happen in our Christian life. We need a captain to direct us into that spiritual battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is going to suggest to us that death is the end. The best philosophy of life is eat, drink, and be merry. Get what pleasures you can have now. But Jesus' ascension into heaven proves that's a lie. There's something more coming. Something much greater coming. And Jesus is watching everything that I do between now and then as well. And so I want to honor Him as my Lord and Savior. Our captain promises deliverance for us, because greater is He who is in us than he who's in the world. With our eyes upon Him, we have the strength and victory that the world could never know. The unbelieving world ignores us, mocks and scorns Jesus and our faith, but our faith in a captain is in a captain who can see in the dark, the valley of the shadow of death. Our captain is the resurrection and the life, the source of salvation, the author and inspirer of our faith. He blazed the trail that we're to follow. He does not call us to any difficulty that He didn't first come here to earth and walk through. What does Hebrews 2 tell us? That He can sympathize with us in our weaknesses. He's the author of life, the captain of salvation. We follow His example with eyes of faith upon Him. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Well, Father, we thank and praise You that You indeed have provided in Jesus all that we need for life and godliness. Thank You for this Holy Scriptures and the summary of them that we could look at and explore this biblical term. What a joy it is to just trace that out and dive deeper. Help us to realize that Jesus is our captain. Help us to realize that He's the source of our life. Help us not to dishonor Christ as our captain by failing to believe, by failing to look in moments of weak faith or weakened faith, to come to You in humility and trust and desiring forgiveness, longing for strength as we walk forward in this world, to shine in this world of darkness, the light of Christ our captain. We pray as He taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.